Father, I come tonight, Lord, that, Lord, your word will fill us with knowledge for victory, Lord, that we will know how to attain the victory that comes through faith. Father, send forth your word. Send forth the pure word, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that word never fails. In Jesus' name. So we've got to know God's ways, because without that knowledge, the people perish. Because the lack of knowledge of who God is, that means, and how he operates. And I want to say that in the scriptures, there's only two real realities. The two real realities is we either live under the influence of God's blessing or we live under the curse. There's no real in between. And when God brings somebody into blessing, when God brings somebody into a life where he blesses us, and the blessings of God, they're not just provision. When God blesses somebody, everything changes. It's not like a man blesses. When God blesses our life, everything changes. The blessings of Abraham, everything changes. Miracles happen. The impossible happened for him. He was provided for. All the goodness of God manifested in his life. And the way God did bless Abraham was that before the blessings became manifest, God called Abraham and established a covenant with him. He called him out of Ur, which is out of the world, and then he established his covenant with him. And in Abraham's day, he understood what covenant was, because in Abraham's day, when a king would conquer another king, the conquering king was called the suzerain. And the conquered king and the suzerain would enter into an agreement. And the conquering king would say to the conquered, you will loyally obey and serve me, and in return for this, I'll provide peace for you. I'll provide provision for you. I'll provide security for you. And if an enemy attacks you, I will go to war and destroy your enemy for you. And in return, you to obey me. And so Abraham understood covenant. And we need to understand covenant. Because when God blessed Abraham, he blessed him through the covenant. The covenant was the vehicle which Abraham was able to receive blessing. And God called him, God made a covenant. You see it in Genesis 15 and 17. You see that God, he established his covenant by slaughtering an animal, and he made an agreement. And that animal was secured by, the agreement was secured by blood. When a suzerain and one who conquered sealed their agreement, they always sealed it with blood. There would be a cutting of hands or a cutting of wrists, and they would exchange blood. That agreement, that agreement was not breakable until somebody died. It was an agreement that was only broken by death. And so God did this for Abraham. He came to him and he said, I'm going to bless you. I am going to multiply you. This is the agreement. I will be the suzerain, and I will make you fruitful. I will make a great nation out of you. I will be an enemy to your enemies. All the what we call the blessings of Abraham, and he said, you will obey and serve me. And Abraham agreed in that covenant to serve and obey his God, and all those blessings came through that covenant. It was by believing what God promised and sealed with blood in that covenant that those blessings were manifest. It was the vehicle which blessing came through. And the same thing happened with Noah. When Noah, God cursed the earth. But when Noah came out of the ark, everything that was cursed, God turned into a blessing for Noah and his sons. How? By establishing covenant with them. He said, that rainbow is a sign of a covenant, making an agreement with you. And as you believe the covenant, the blessings will manifest in your life. So God is a covenant-keeping God. David understood the power of covenant. In some of his psalms, particularly Psalm 25, he writes about, it's a psalm of deliverance. And it's when he is in trouble and he has been pursued by his enemies. And it's all about how God will pull him out and God will fight his enemies. How? In verse 14, David says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. In other words, David understood that God was a God who made promises, sealed them with blood, and guaranteed those promises through covenant. Those promises of blessing, those promises of provision, those promises of deliverance, the blessings of Abraham come through covenant. In fact, David so understood, we've got to understand, not only understand, we've got to understand and think covenant. Because David understood he was in covenant with God. And God had promised to fight his enemies. And by believing that covenant, God fought his enemies. Because all the victories come through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And David actually so understood covenant that the reason he was able to run against Goliath, the sign of the covenant that God established with Abraham was circumcision. Ours is baptism. But the sign of Abraham's covenant was circumcision. And when David so understood covenant, so understood the blessings that come in covenant and that there's no blessings outside of covenant, he looked at Goliath and he said, "How dare you defy Israel? You're an uncircumcised fool." He knew he was outside of covenant. He knew he was a giant with no covenant, so he had no power. But David understood himself as someone who was in covenant, and God would never allow a covenant man to be destroyed. And the scriptures say that in Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah, Ezekiel 36, and many scriptures, it says, with the blood of Jesus, God has made a better covenant. And I'll just read Jeremiah 32. "I will make with them an everlasting covenant, which I will not turn away from doing them good. I will put my spirit in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good." So the new covenant, God has promised the same blessings of Abraham that he will do those people who are in covenant with him. He will only do them good. If you're in covenant with God, everything God does for you is for your good. His love is so established in your life that everything he promises is to do good for you. He will never do anything for you which is not for your good. And if you're in covenant with God, you're able to lay hold of that promise by faith and say, "God, you've promised good for me. Whatever is happening, you've promised. You've promised, I'm through the blood of Jesus, my covenant, this is, you're going to turn this into good." That's why we have Romans 8:29, that God promises to turn everything into the good. That's referring to the covenant he made with Jeremiah. But I want to show you something. God made a covenant in Exodus 15. We know faith is the victory. Faith in the covenant is the victory. Faith in the covenant brings the healing. Faith in the covenant brings deliverance in the covenant-keeping God. I want to show you, in Exodus 15, part of the covenant, God said to Egypt, "You will be in bondage for 400 years. In verse 13, you see it. But in Israel, in Exodus 12, verse 40, it says, "Now the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was there 430 years. How come it is that God had made a covenant that they would be in bondage for 400 years. I've heard many explanations for this. Yet they were in bondage for 430 years. If you go to Exodus 2, now it happened in verse 23. "Now it happened in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel groaned because of the bondage and they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning and God remembered his covenant." I want to make a point. God had promised 400 years, but deliverance did not come till the people cried out and placed a demand on the covenant. Deliverance didn't come and the people cried out and they pressurized the covenant and made a demand on the covenant. Then God remembered his covenant with Abraham. I want to tell you, your time can pass by if you don't pressurize the covenant. Your time can pass by, your season of victory, if you don't make a demand by faith on what God has promised. But I prophesy tonight, nobody's time will pass by. God will not pass anybody by, but God will stop. Jesus nearly passed people by because they didn't cry out to him when he was going by the boat. But when they cried out and they pressurized, Daniel understood this principle. After 70 years, Jeremiah had prophesied. And he knew the victory didn't come through emotionalism. He knew the victory didn't come through casual believing, but he took that word home when he heard the prophecy, and he took it home to his prayer closet, and he pressurized the promise until Israel were free. It was impossible for them to be free, but through pressurizing the promise, he got free. Israel was free in 70 years because he pressurized what God had promised. God moves supernaturally. God moved with power. I want to show you something in Joshua, something so powerful. You go to Joshua chapter 9. These people of the Old Testament, they understood covenant. They understood what covenant meant. They thought covenant. We have to think covenant. You know, nobody's perfect. Anyone tells you they're perfect, they're pride. Nobody's perfect. Even Joshua made mistakes. He made mistakes at Ai, after the victory at Jericho, then again, straight after that, he made a mistake with the people of Gibeah. That's in chapter 9. What happened? The people of Gibeah heard about what God had done to the Egyptians and knew that God was with Israel. The enemy always knows when God's really with a man or with a people. The enemy knows, and the enemy feared. And so Gibeon, the enemy of Israel, heard about what God did with the Egyptians, and they deceived Joshua and his men. That deception happened, you see, because they did not inquire or take counsel of the Lord, it says in verse 14 of chapter 9. They didn't ask, they didn't pray about it. But the Gibeonites came to them and they pretended to come from afar, they pretended to come from a far distance. They pretended that they were not neighbors with Israel. They pretended they came from a long way away and wanted an agreement with Israel. And so they disguised their condition. They wore old clothes and old sandals and bought old wineskins as though they'd been traveling for many, many days. And because Joshua didn't pray, it says that Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them. He made a covenant. And even though it was based on a lie, even though they deceived him, I want to make a point. A little while later, these people, these liars, these deceivers, they understood covenant. The covenant was that Joshua established with them. He said, we'll provide for you, we'll protect you, but you'll be woodcutters and water carriers. You'll serve God's people. And they did. They served God's people. They did their job. They did what was agreed. And in chapter 10, everything changes because five kings come and attack Gibeah, the Gibeonites. They attack them. Five kings here, they're in agreement with Joshua, and five kings come and attack the people. The Gibeonites go to Joshua, and they say, help. In verse 6, the Gibeonites sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us, help us. All the kings have gathered together against us. These people who deceived, who lied to Joshua, now asked him to risk his life and all the life of his soldiers and go to war against five kings. It's amazing. Go against an army that overwhelms and outnumbers Israel. Go against them. I want to tell you, Joshua did not hesitate. It says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them from him. So immediately Joshua went to battle for these liars, for the deceivers, against an enemy that outnumbered him. Why? Because he was in covenant. Because he understood covenant. I want to tell you what happened. Gibeonites were not perfect. They were liars and they were weak. Because they understood covenant, because they came to Joshua and they pressurized the covenant, because they pressurized the covenant, I tell you what happened. When covenant gets involved, they had a battle. Verse 10, God routed them before Israel. They struck them with hailstones, so great, the hailstones with heaven came down, and more were killed by hailstones than were killed with the sword. Then it says, the sun stood still over Gibeon, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered them. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Allegheny. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. I tell you what happens when you pressurize the covenant, when you understand covenant, when you think covenant, you pressurize, God comes in. Then angels start to come in. Then even nature starts to come in for the person who understands covenant. Everything comes to work for the person who understands what covenant is. What the Gibeonites were saying, they were saying, even though they're weak and even though they were not perfect, they were saying, we demand Joshua. We're coming to you. We're going to covenant with you. We demand our covenant rights. We demand you come and fight the enemy for us because we have a covenant with you. We demand you come. I have a covenant. I have a covenant. I demand you come and fight the enemy. Everything came in line. Everything fought against the enemy. God, the angels, even nature, when someone understood and pressurized the covenant. Now, where am I going with this? Go to 1 Corinthians 11. Abraham was blessed through covenant. The night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He says, this is my body which is broken for you in verse 24. Do it in remembrance of me. The same manner he also took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you meet in remembrance of me. And what he's saying is that he has brought us into a new covenant. He has, and I want to say, religious activity without pressurizing the covenant accomplishes very little. Religious activity without pressurizing that covenant establishes very little. But he has established through his blood a better covenant than Abraham had, a better covenant than David had, a better covenant than Joshua had. He's established a perfect covenant with his blood. To do us what? To always do us good. He's made a covenant. He's promised to forgive us. He's promised to heal us. He's promised to deliver us. The benefits of that covenant are actually described perfectly in Psalm 103, which says, forget not all the benefits of the covenant. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfies your youth, your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know what the Bible also says? It says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And when the kingdom of heaven is preached, everyone is pressing in. You know what they're pressing into? They're pressing in to pressurize the covenant. They're pressing in by faith to lay hold of what God has established. And I just feel like saying tonight, you've got to realize, you must understand what it is to be in covenant. You must understand what God has brought you into and what is the vehicle of blessing. It's not emotionalism. It's not emotionalism that brings so many believers think it's just emotional. Jesus loves me. It's all going to come. It's not. It's by understanding what God has promised you and pressurizing the covenant of promise that the victory comes. That's what faith is. The kingdom of heaven is being preached and everybody is pressurizing what God has promised by faith. Yeah, there's a picture I love. There's a woman in the New Testament in Matthew 13 or 18. She's not even from the family of faith. She's not even a Jew, but she understands covenant. She said, oh, I know God promised to send a Savior, and by his blood he would bring us into covenant. And when she came to Jesus, she understood covenant. She didn't call him Jesus. She called him Son of David, the one God had promised to establish a new covenant through. And she came And she had a daughter who was tormented, who was demon possessed. And there's a picture of someone pressurizing the covenant, pressurizing what God had promised. Even though three times Jesus didn't answer, he even called her a dog. But she refused to walk away because she knew her covenant rights. She knew, and she could, even in the face of seemingly contradictory answers, she was not backing away. And it says that the Hebrews didn't get deliverance till they cried out. Then God remembered his covenant. This woman cried out, and she continued to cry out. She continued to cry out, I know you're the Savior. I know who you are. She continued to worship him. Jesus couldn't turn her away. I tell you, that is a great picture of faith, because it's faith that gets the victory. And it's a great picture of someone who understands what Jesus purchased and not let go until you get the victory. Whatever you're going through, you can come. You don't have to be perfect. You may be weak. You may have lied last night. It's not by works that God deals with you. It's by faith. And like the Gibeonites, you maybe have done run along things, but if you understand covenant, you can get the victory. You can get the blessing. Everything will be turned to the good. Why? Because God has made a covenant with you through the blood of his son, Jesus. And he said, I have promised that I will forgive you. I have promised that I will heal you. I'll promise that I'll satisfy your mouth with good things. I'll promise I'll pull you out of every pit. I'll promise to renew you daily, renew your youth like the eagles. I promise to do that. And to prove that I've promised, and to prove that I'm faithful, I'll seal that promise with the blood of my son. You're going to take that promise. It's not emotionalism. It's pressurizing that covenant and say, God, whatever's going in my life, God, whatever's going on, you have promised. I want to tell you, when you start crying out to God like that, when you won't let that promise go, that's when the victory comes. Amen? Amen. We have a covenant-keeping God. Come on, Nikki, I'm done. We're going to pray for you tonight, but I want to tell you, it's by faith. It's by faith the victory comes. Abraham got the victory because he was fully persuaded. What's he fully persuaded? He was fully persuaded that God was not only able, he was not only willing, but he was able to keep everything he promised to us. He's willing and able. He's willing and he's able. You don't have to be perfect. You may come here tonight sick. You may come here, the enemy may be doing all sorts of things to your life. The enemy might be fighting against your child. The enemy might be fighting against your health. The enemy might be fighting. Come to your house to try to destroy you, like the Gibeonites. They were overwhelmed by five kings. But they knew they had a covenant. They said, I demand on the base of my covenant, you come and fight. You come and keep that word. That's not presumption. That is faith. I have a covenant in the blood of Jesus. Whatever's happening, you know he's promised to turn everything for the good of those who love me. You know, there's only one condition to a covenant. There's only one condition. God said, I'll do all this. Let me just read to you Exodus 23. So you shall serve the Lord, and he will bless your bread and your water. He will take away sickness from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in the land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the peoples to whom you come. I will make of your all your enemies turn back before you. I will send hornets before you and drive out the enemies, the Hittites. Little by little, I'll drive them out until you have increased. All they had to do, that's a covenant. It's another covenant God made with the people. All they had to do is serve him. If you've decided to serve Jesus Christ with your life, you'd have to be perfect, but you've decided to live for him, to love him with all your heart, walk in the Spirit. He says, these are your rights. Come pressurize him tonight. Call upon him. Whatever's going on, faith is a victory. Amen? We're going to pray for people who need deliverance, who need God to move tonight, because he's a covenant-keeping God. Let's stand and praise Him. Let's stand and praise Him. Covenant is you don't have to fight your battles. You don't have to fight your enemies. God says, I'll fight them for you. You just have to be in agreement to obey me, be loyal to me the best you can. You don't even have to be perfect. That just has to be the condition of your heart. You've chosen to obey, but He does the fighting. The suzerain fights to the one He's in covenant with. If you have an enemy trying to do something in your life and your family, I just feel God saying, you come out today. I'm going to move. But you come and pressurize that covenant. Come and pressurize. Place your demands. Come and say, God, I got a covenant with you. The enemy's doing this. I got a covenant. I got a covenant. You agreed. Come. But that's faith. That's what faith is. If you got a problem, come. We're going to pray for you. Praise Him. For we know that all things, that is all things, work together. They intertwine, they meet, they twist, but they work. They work, they function for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. God is saying, no matter what you're going through, He says, there's only one thing for you to do, love me and walk in the Spirit. Love me and walk in the Spirit, and by faith, expect everything, even in the morning, to be good. Everything that's not good. Start praising Him. Start praising Him for His worth, because He has promised you that, and He has signed that promise in blood. And it's by laying hold, by pressurizing that promise every day, by loving Him because He is faithful, by praising Him because He's working for you. He never forgets you. He loves you so deeply. That's how the victory comes. Faith is a victory. But Father, I thank You. You are not vague. You don't keep us guessing. You make a promise. You have made a promise. A perfect promise. That we would inherit the blessing of Abraham. That we would be a blessed people. That we would be a forgiven people, a healed people, a righteous people. All because You purchased it for us, Lord. And I praise You, Lord, that You have signed, You have made that promise, and You've signed it in the blood of Your Son, that it is certain. Father, I ask that You convict us and You show us today how certain are Your promises, Lord, when they are met with faith. Father, I decree that we will not walk by sight. We will not by feelings, emotions, by circumstances. But we will walk believing Your word until every promise is manifest, yes and amen, in our lives. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Lord, I commit every head to You tonight, Lord. And I praise You that even now, You're turning everything for our good. In Jesus' mighty name, all the people said, amen and amen and amen.